Consider them rubbish, may I gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead, pressing on toward the goal. Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And the next lesson is Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, the senior high Sunday school studied this today, putting on the full armor of God. And we begin verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. When I was just reading that about put on the full armor of God, I actually thought of, I should have talked to Ben Smith and we should have got the full regalia and slowly put that, but I don't know where. Is Higgins Armory still open in Worcester? We're going to have to do that. But that would be an amazing visual if we said, you know, the helmet of salvation, and we put it on the part. And then by the end of it, you're dressed and ready to take on life because you have the sword of the Spirit, the belt of the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, amen, the shield of the faith to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. So, I keep that visual in mind through the sermon, but I want you to think about what's your goal in life. You know, maybe you haven't really thought about it too much. Some people just kind of go through the motions. But I want you to really think about what's your goal right now until you're called home to be with God in heaven. And every Sunday, I think there's probably maybe 200 different goals, maybe in church. Some people might say, well, I want to get healthier physically. I want to get rid of debt. My goal is to improve my relationships. I want to be a better husband, a better wife. I want to read more. I want to exercise more. You know, those are almost like, how's your resolutions from last January 1st? But today, for me, I think I'm a big sports nut and I love playing basketball. I don't know if you knew, I'm in an over 40 basketball league in Northbridge at the Whitensville Community Center. And I look at the guys like, wrapping their legs together, and they walk out and they're limping, and all these old guys to go out and compete and huff and puff and try not to get hurt. There's always, every game, there's one guy that limps off and he's done. But we still like to, you know, just have this competition. And the whole idea, as you know, in basketball is to put this ball in the goal and stop the other team from doing that. And it made me think, you know, we probably invented sports so that we would have a clear goal. It's very simple. Score more than the other team. And that made me think, when I was putting the sermon together, would a bunch of guys just run around on a court if there was no object, there was no goal to put the ball in? Because it is kind of funny to think about that. We exert so much energy just for that. And so I want you to think about what your goal today is in life, because Paul says, I press on to the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And we have to understand that it is like a sporting event. He says, I run the race of faith. You have to exert energy, and you have to focus on what's most important in your life. And you have to press on. He says, I have not attained this yet. We should always have goals. Someone might, this morning, the goal might be, I just want to survive the day. Because life is not an easy thing. Paul is someone who, he had everything. The goal for the average person probably is to be successful and probably have nice things and not worry about, you know, financially. Now, Paul had status and prestige. He was a Pharisee, he was a Roman citizen. He was somebody that people looked up to. He was well-educated. He was learned. He was prominent in the community. He had everything you would think as someone who had a goal in life. And then he was knocked down off his horse, blinded by the light. And Jesus said, why are you, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his goal changed completely, radically, when he accepted Christ, when he started following Jesus. And he said, all I want to know is Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Amen? I'm a person that likes things simple. Ask Nancy. I like things to tell me what I need to know, and I'm going to tell you what you need to know today, because Paul's telling us, the Word of God is telling us, all I want to know is Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Now, you ask the average person, do you believe? A lot of them say, oh, yeah, I believe. But do you really know that? Scott Savucci told me once, he said, the difference between knowing of Jesus and knowing Jesus is night and day. Because you have to work at knowing Jesus. You have to press on, and you have to trust that God will bless your efforts in prayer and study of God's word and in missions of mercy and of service, that you will come to know the Lord better and better. The older I get, the more I realize that my ultimate goal is to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and to someday attain salvation in heaven. Amen. You know how hard this week was? This was a hard week. Bless you, Jason. You know, all the storms we've had lately. If you made a, you know, every Sunday it's a different group, a different area that we're praying for. Texas, down Houston area, Florida, the Keys, Puerto Rico, and now what happened in Las Vegas. It's a different type of storm, but still, it's rocking the country. And it makes me think about, what was this man thinking? How can we have someone in our society who would think such thoughts that would come from his heart, and he would plan to harm and kill? And it was a person not so much unlike Paul, who had everything that this world could offer. His vision, his goal was to become wealthy. And he attained that goal. He was a multimillionaire. He didn't have to work. He retired early. He could sit at a video poker machine and just play video poker all day long. But somehow his goal became to harm people. The exact opposite is what you'll hear every Sunday when you hear the good news, the gospel. It's like, you're alive for a reason, to make a difference. And I want you to think about your goal to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How do people know about you? It's through people who believe in Jesus, who sacrifice themselves in love to others. You know, at the early service, we commissioned the ASP adult team, 12 people, going to give up a week of their vacation. They're not going to Las Vegas. They're going down to Appalachia. And it could be difficult conditions, And they're going to work on home repair, making a home warmer, safer, drier. They're going to walk into people's homes, and they're going to look them in the eye, and they're going to shake their hands, and they're going to say, "We're here in the name of Jesus." And that's an answering of a call, like Paul, to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. I want you to think about, is that on your goal list? Because you only have one life to live. And at one time, we went to Las Vegas. Ashley will remember this. We went to in 2009, right before Max and Ethan moved in. And Ashley was only 9 years old. And my brother said, "Let's all go to the Grand Canyon." And he was buying the tickets. And we said, "Yes." And he found out that the best place to land, the cheapest place for the flight, was to land in Las Vegas. The cheapest flight, the cheapest car rental. And then he said, "We're going to stay at the Luxor. It's a pyramid." I remember telling that to Ashley. And exciting about staying in a pyramid. So we got out of the room and said, "Okay, now let's walk around Las Vegas." I had never been to Las Vegas. And we started walking through the casinos. We went into the MGM Grand Hotel, which is one of the biggest in the world. And do you know they designed this hotel so you would become lost? And that's exactly what happened. Do you remember that? They don't have signs to get out. There's no windows. They don't want you to see how nice a day it is. They want your goal to be gambling. They want your goal to be totally hedonistic, because all we saw in this little tour with a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old were people drinking, people excessively drinking, excessively eating, excessively gambling. And we walk around a corner, right? Because we're lost. Our 12 of us, we got split up. And we walk around the corner. I'm just trying to be a positive person. We walk around the corner, and here's Shaw and Ashley. Next was 10-year-old, 9-year-old, and there's a woman naked dancing. And Nancy and I, we could not cover their faces fast enough, trying to get them out. How do you get out of here? Literally, they designed the place so your goal is to get lost in that whole realm. That's what happened to this man. Not part of a community of faith, not open to the goal that God had for him in his life. Now, they're trying to find motivations. Like that would ever bring any of these 59 people back. But they really have not found any, except that he opened his heart to the darkness. And he came up with a goal of hurting people, killing people. And he meticulously planned for this to happen. And he followed through on this. But you know what? God loved this man. God gave his son for this man. On the front sign, I remember seeing it in another church. There's two messages on our sign. One side it says, "If God had a fridge, your picture would be on it." Think of your refrigerator. What's on your refrigerator? All the people you love. The photos of your children, your grandchildren, your friends. Anybody who's anybody is on your fridge, so when you get something to eat, you look at those smiling faces. God had this man's picture on God's fridge. But this man didn't know it. Either he didn't ever open up and he embraced evil, or no one ever shared it. I don't know. But we're called to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and make Christ known to the world. And what happened in Las Vegas has shaken us up. I'd rather not talk about the man more than the people, the innocent people that were hurt, that were just rejoicing and enjoying country music. 59 people. I'd like to lift up the stories of their life. And if you see their faces, you see that many of them are teachers. Many of them are healthcare professionals. Many of them were public servants, kindergarten teacher, husbands and mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers. People that loved and gave for whatever life they lived, to whatever time when their life stopped. You look back and now we lift up how they chose to live their lives and the legacy they leave opposed to this man. And I think it's so beautiful that we're hearing about heroic measures of people that a man, Sonny Melton, stood in front of his wife so she could be safe and was shot and killed. There was a man, Jonathan Smith, a young man, a father of two, father of three, who kept going back in harm's way. And he saved, they say, 30 people that were just lying down. He said, "You need to get up. You need to come." And he gets shot once. He keeps helping people. He comes back in. He gets shot twice and he's wounded. And an off-duty police officer comes and rescues him. And this is what he said, this Jonathan Smith, who all these people said, "This man saved my life." Everyone's been using the word hero. I've been saying it since the whole time I got home. I'm not a hero. I'm far from a hero. I think I just did what anybody would do, said Smith. He said, "Was it smart? Probably not. But if someone else was in my shoes and they would see me, I would want them to come back and at least help me." Can I hear an amen? Amen. The risk of his own life. He thought of others above himself. We're in a battle, aren't we? Every single day, how are you going to spend your life? Are you going to be a servant? Are you going to be a giver? Are you going to be a taker? Are you going to embrace the darkness? And so today I want you to think about how we must continue to know Jesus and make Jesus known. To be all about saving lives. The opposite of someone who's evil, who takes lives. And to say that you're part of something that will not back down. You know, Tom Petty died this week, right? I bet some of you probably liked his music. And he had one song, I'd never really thought about it. The country singer that was on the stage when all the violence happened and all the killing, he sang this song, I guess, on Saturday Night Live. He sang in honor of Tom Petty, "I Won't Back Down." And it reminds me of Ephesians 6 that says, "Be strong in the Lord." And we have to continue to put on the full armor of God and have that shield of faith, because the arrows will come. The arrows will come. In Ephesians 4, just a couple chapters before, Paul says, the Word of God says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not let the devil get a foothold." And Paul's saying the same thing to us today in Ephesians 6, where he's saying, "Put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord. And have that be a goal that you continue to equip yourself to take on the arrows that come in this life. It's, you know, this week was so hard that I felt like just staying in bed this morning. I bet there's a lot of people who, because of what they see, there's a retreating, right? But hear Tom Petty's song, because it goes with it. He says, "I won't back down. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, that's what's right. I got just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground." Amen? Because what Paul says when you've done all these things, you put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet of readiness, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith, you stand. Amen? You stand firm, and you're not moved by what happens in the world. Because you know the peace of Christ. Just like the cover of our program, "Know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus, no peace." Peace did not come to this man who did this, but someone who gives his life to Christ and says, "I'm yours now, and I will press on now to the goal. My ultimate goal is to be with you in heaven. And I know if I'm shot down tomorrow, I know where I'm going, because I've given you my soul." No one can take that away. Amen. This week was a hard week. You know, Shaw, we have not seen Shaw since August 22nd. We do FaceTime. And it's wonderful. We get to see him, and it's really helpful to do FaceTime. I really think of parents years ago with just the phone. It's good to see his expression. He's doing so well, and he's so happy. He's made so many friends. and we feel good, but we have not had a Shaw hug. We have not had a Shawwich, which is me on one side, Nancy on the other, the bread, and Shaw's the meat. And we get, is Shaw need a Shawwich? And he's 6'3", almost 6'4", and weighs 200 pounds. But we get in there, we trap him, and we squish him. We have not done that since August 22nd. It's a hard week this week because the dorm where we dropped Shaw off at Temple, he lives on the 6th story. It was a young man that lives on the 2nd story of his dorm who felt overwhelmed in despair. Richard Dalgore. He climbed up to the 6th floor of the dormitory and he jumped to his death on Tuesday at the age of 19. Don't know anything. Shaw didn't know him, had never met him. But it happened in that place where we dropped our son off. And we think of the arrows that come and just want to pierce you. Could this man be saved if someone reached out? We don't know. But somehow he reached the point where I don't want to live. And it just hurts us, and it should hurt us, that as Paul says, we should know the power of the resurrection, but we should also know Christ's sufferings. That we're willing to be with people through hard times. We tell Jason, you're not alone. And he told us at youth group that he's never felt as loved as he's felt right here. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jason's going to live every second of every day because he knows that God's with him and has a purpose for him and has a goal for him in life. And so we pray for anyone who's in that place where they just feeling such heartache and heartbreak and anguish. And I never know if that somebody might be right here on a Sunday morning that feels this close for giving up or turning to drugs or alcohol, getting caught up in the darkness of the world. It's a battle that we're in. It's a spiritual battle. Paul says it. Our battle is against spiritual principalities in the heavenly realms. And this man was a smart man, well-educated, wealthy, owned multiple homes, multiple cars, was a owner of planes, was a pilot, was an accountant, and he did this. And so I ask you today, as we move now to our prayer time, to check your goals in life. Is it to know Jesus and to be strong in the Lord? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Let it be your goal today to say, I want to know Jesus. All I want to know is Jesus and the power of his resurrection. To know his peace and his security and the joy that comes to know that you're focused on the prize of salvation and your greatest calling is to make other people, help other people know how much God loves them. Amen. Amen. Let's move to our prayer time. Are there prayers that we'd like to lift up before we have our closing song? And I'm so happy you're here today, and I thank you for coming, and you could rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so I'd like to lift up, we have Jason to continue to lift up the ASP team, the 59 people in Las Vegas. We want to continue to lift up Puerto Rico. We want to lift up a young man that died this week of a heroin overdose. His name is Matthew, nephew to Doug Yulman, Matthew Malone. And I actually met this young man with his uncle Doug, and we sat at the cross about a year ago, and we prayed with this young man, and he's now one of those statistics of how many have died because of the scourge of the heroin epidemic. And so I want you to lift up his parents, his family, the Yeoman family, because we're up against these powers of this world. And Jeff Ward said on the way out, he said, you know, we say the Lord's Prayer every week. When I say, lead me not into temptation, he said, me just praying that part of the Lord's Prayer has kept me from going to Las Vegas. That simple. Don't go into the lion's den. Don't tempt the devil to lay hold of you. Amen. Robin, do you have a prayer you want to lift up? Okay, please.
My daughter, Bailey.
Yes.